Till I end my song, a life in process, prologue. But I'm alive, I exist. I am full of conflicting emotions, anger, confusion, frustration, despair. So much has brought me to this point, Paris, the city of my dreams, and it seems that all my hopes are about to be dashed. The man sitting at the desk in front of me, thin, grey-haired, the epitome of officialdom, looks at me with an inscrutable face. I'm surprised by my outburst. I'm normally quiet, self-effacing, and never reveal my true feelings. But now I am revolting against this anonymity. Something from deep inside me is welling up and taking a stand. The year is 1959, and I'm 31 years old. I'm standing in the office of Monsieur Dupré, the deputy head of staff at NATO headquarters in Paris. He makes a non-committal reply, and I leave the office with a feeling of hopelessness. But evidently my words must have had some effect, for the powers that be in NATO got together and decided something must be done about the fact of my existence. I had applied to NATO for a job as a secretary, and in my letter of application had explained to the personnel officer that I did not have a passport, as I had no nationality, and only had a document called an alien certificate. Nonetheless, I was engaged by NATO, but on arrival in Paris, was told I would have to obtain an ID card in order to live in France. The French authorities told me I could not have an ID card without a passport. I was at an impasse. What was I to do? I had given up my flat in London and moved all my belongings, including my mother, to Paris, where I expected to be living. I decided to go and see Madame Dreyfus, the social welfare officer for NATO. She was a formidable lady, small and dark, with flashing eyes. She was Jewish and the direct descendant of the famous Dreyfus, a young Jewish army officer who was falsely accused of treason in the year 1894 and sent to prison. The affair caused a great scandal in France and split public opinion in two. He was finally exonerated in 1906. Fortunately for me, Madame Dreyfus was on my side. "We have engaged you," she said, "and it is our responsibility to look after you now." She called my French boss, Monsieur Voisin, and said to him, "We must help this poor girl." Monsieur Voisin agreed with her that they must do all they could to see that I acquired a legitimate nationality. It was at this point that I was asked to go and see Monsieur Dupré. In the beginning, my story begins on the 14th of July, 1928, in Nice, France, where I was born. It was 8 o'clock in the morning at the English clinic in the hills behind Nice when I first saw the light of day. "A beautiful mother and a beautiful baby," said the French doctor. My mother did not think to register my birth at the time, and later, when she did, he told her that she would receive a large fine for not having done so before. So she did nothing. This was to cause us immense problems later on. She did, however, have me baptized at the American Church of the Holy Spirit on 5th April 1929. My father is named as Herbert Stansfield. So I never had a birth certificate, though I do have a certificate of baptism. My arrival was a surprise. My mother, Florence Nora, was Canadian. She had arrived in Paris earlier that year to study art at the Sorbonne. She had come to Paris in order to get away from my father, who was a married man. He was a professor of art at the Toronto Academy of Art, and she had met him whilst studying there. When my mother realized she was pregnant, she travelled down to Nice in order to have a more discreet birth. She was 42 years old, and she was single.